The Movie Channel presents a Catalyst Entertainment production with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. Universal Soldier 2.
In 1953, the U.S. government embarked on a top-secret operation to create an elite military strike force. Codename, Universal Soldier. The procedure harvested dead soldiers, reanimated and genetically enhanced them with the objective of assembling the Army of Tomorrow. In 1998, the program was uncovered by a female journalist during a hostage crisis. In the aftermath, several Universal Soldiers were terminated or went missing.
Brothers in Arms.
Dead soldier.
No, I'm alive.
Two Universal Soldiers begin hand-to-hand combat.
Matt Battaglia, Chandra West.
Luke Devereaux, Universal Soldier GR-44, pins GR-13 to the ground.
And special appearance by Jeff Wincott and Gary Busey.
Luke faces off with GR-13. He charges and hits 13 with a series of punches to the face. Him in the chest, Luke sends 13 to the muddy ground. Luke stalks across the farmyard as 13 climbs to his feet.
Director of photography, Russell Guzzi.
Luke continues to pummel 13, immobilizing him with vicious punches and kicks.
Production designer, Jasna Stefanovic.
When Luke walks away, 13 storms after him. Luke hears him coming and tosses him to the ground.
Costume designer, Trisha Baker.
13 stands up. Luke grabs his wrist and punches his elbow, breaking his arm. Luke continues to work him over, and 13 stumbles back toward a sharp thresher. Luke jumps in the air and kicks him in the jaw. 13 flops backward and lands on the thresher, impaling himself on the sharp spikes.
You're discharged, Sarge.
Editor, Mike Lee.
Luke turns on the combine, mulching 13 in the spikes.
Producer, Bob Wertheimer.
Luke!
A disheveled blonde woman runs toward Luke.
Co-executive producer, Nancy Chappelle.
Veronica.
Veronica leaps into his arms.
Written by Peter M. Lenkoff. Directed by Jeff Woolhoff.
Police today are still on the lookout for Veronica Roberts, an ex-CNA correspondent wanted in the murder of a co-worker. Roberts alleged that the government was regenerating dead soldiers for its special anti-terrorist strike force. The government continues to deny the existence of any such program. Roberts remains a fugitive and was last seen in the company of a so-called Universal Soldier.
Driving a military Hummer, a stocky soldier pops a cigarette in his mouth. An envelope sits on the seat beside him. The soldier looks at the cigarette and throws it to the floor. He stops the Hummer and steps out into the night holding the envelope. Two other Hummers are parked nearby. Standing in front of them are two soldiers, each holding envelopes of their own. The stocky soldier approaches the other two.
Who's in charge here?
Hell knows. My orders were to port here at 2200 hours.
A helicopter flies toward the quarry where the soldiers wait. Officer in a beret steps out.
Is that?
Lieutenant Colonel Jack Cameron.
I thought they discharged his sorry ass.
So did I.
A big blonde man dressed in black, Otto Mazur, joins Cameron as they stride toward the three soldiers. Two brawny men follow them. Smiles and nods at the soldiers.
I'm sure you men are wondering why you've been brought here. You have been selected for a special detail because you are the best and the brightest the military has to offer. You should be very proud of yourselves.
He lifts a machine gun and fires on the three soldiers. Lowering the machine gun, a tear rolls down his cheek as he turns to Cameron.
You just say you wanted to command again. Meet your new army. Secure the bodies for resurrection.
Shocked, Cameron heads back to the helicopter as the two brawny men move toward the bodies. The dead soldiers are zipped into body bags. Mazur makes a call on his cell phone.
Second team has been recruited.
Excellent.
In Washington.
Have you heard from Dr. Walker?
No, is there a problem?
He took first team into the field 36 hours ago. He hasn't checked in yet.
I'm on it.
Mazur leaves in the helicopter. In a lab.
What the hell is going on?
We've got a crisis on our hands. One hell of a problem with the first team.
Calm down. Tell me what happened.
Dr. Walker paces with a cell phone.
Everyone is offline except GR-13 and GR-44. And I don't know where the hell they are.
But if we don't recover them soon, their systems will overheat and shut down.
On a tree-lined gravel road, an old pickup truck approaches the Devereaux family farm and parks beside a station wagon. A man gets out and heads for the house.
I'm not sure I understand the objective.
What's to understand? Just do it.
Veronica sits next to Luke in a workshop. Sitting naked in a tub of ice, he kisses Veronica. Luke licks his lips.
You're not supposed to taste. You're supposed to feel.
He kisses her again. Pensively, he touches his lips.
I guess we're just going to have to keep working at it.
They kiss with more passion.
Whoa. Slow down, Castro. You're gonna overheat.
He looks at his wrist computer.
No, it's a figure of speech.
Luke kisses her. Outside.
Luke? Veronica? Where are you?
It's my father.
He stands up in the tub of ice. Keeping her back to him, Veronica hands Luke a towel. Confused by her shyness, Luke takes the towel and covers his muscular body, then steps out of the tub.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know. What are you laughing at?
I was thinking about an old farmer's daughter joke, only it doesn't work the same with the farmer's son.
Joke?
Yeah, joke. You know, something that makes you laugh. You remember? Ha ha.
Ha ha.
It's more like a feeling. Laughter is life.
Laughter is life.
Yeah, life. Emotions. Here, let's try one. Knock, knock. Why didn't you answer?
I know it's you at the door.
Pretend it isn't me.
Who's there?
Luke's father opens the door.
Dinner's ready.
He leaves the workshop. In the farmhouse, a gray-haired woman cooks at the stove.
It smells great.
Corned beef hash, Luke's favorite.
You'll have to give me the recipe.
Oh, sorry, can't do that. This dish is the one sure thing that guarantees my Luke's going to come home every so often and see his mama.
Veronica, you're on TV.
Veronica and Luke hurry into the living room.
A nationwide manhunt is still underway for former CNA correspondent Veronica Roberts. Roberts is suspected of murdering a colleague 1 week ago today over a drug deal gone bad.
She's innocent.
Later, Luke helps his mom with the dishes.
Whoever's behind all this made up those charges to frame her.
At the Capitol building.
You let the Universal Soldier program get out of hand. How did the press get a hold of this?
The woman was unanticipated.
Your orders are on the way, Colonel. You are a soldier. You will obey them.
Yes, sir.
I want no loose ends. Once you've recovered the missing soldiers, silenced that reporter, you will terminate all activity. Am I clear, Colonel?
Done.
At the farmhouse, Veronica sits with Luke's dad.
You two are going to have any kind of future together. You're going to have to get out of this mess you're in.
We're not sure who's really behind it or how far up it goes, but we're going to find out.
How?
I have a friend at CNA who may still believe I'm innocent. If I can show him Luke, I know we can blow the lid off this thing.
Is my son the only evidence you have?
He's all I need. It's okay. He's safe here for now.
That night, Luke sleeps peacefully in bed. At the lab, Dr. Walker watches a computer countdown with his young assistant, Jasper. Jasper cracks his neck.
Recovery tracking system initiated.
Displaying a map of the U.S., the computer zeroes in on Wyoming. Zooming in, the computer locates an exact location. Luke sits up in bed.
We got him. Confirm identification.
Outside, Luke pushes the station wagon away from the house.
Reply confirmed.
Jumping into the rolling station wagon, Luke drives away.
We have reply and confirmation.
Walker talks on his cell phone.
GR-44 is on comeback.
Excellent. How are my new recruits?
They're being regenerated even as we speak, sir. We're
a little understaffed here, but we hope to have them back online by the end of next week.
Take your time, Doctor. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Luke continues along the highway. At the farmhouse, photos of soldiers line a tabletop. Veronica picks up a photo of a small boy with a young soldier.
Who's this with Luke?
That's Luke's brother, Eric.
Where is he?
Eric died a long time ago. He was a soldier, too. He went to Vietnam early with a team of advisors. About a year later, we got a letter. He'd been killed while visiting a French army base. It's all we ever heard. Never even got to bury him.
Why?
There was an explosion. They said there wasn't. We were sent his personal effects.
She shows Veronica the dog tags on her necklace.
It was really hard for Luke. He was only 9 at the time. He was so close to his brother. He just couldn't believe Eric was gone. So on his 18th birthday, he joined the army. We think he went to Vietnam to find his brother.
Anybody seen Luke? He's not in this room.
Did you look outside?
Well, I checked everywhere.
Veronica looks out the window.
My car's gone. Maybe he went to the store?
With what? He didn't have any money.
Mr. Devereaux, let me borrow your pickup. I'll go look for him.
She's not running right. The transmission's busted. You won't get 5 miles in that thing.
John, let her take the other car. You have another car?
In the garage, Luke's parents unveil an orange car.
I bought it for Luke when he was in Vietnam. I was going to give it to him when he came home. Kept her running all these years, hoping he'd come back.
Luke's dad gives Veronica the keys, and she drives away in the Pontiac GTO muscle car.
I'm
Veronica speeds down the highway, sipping coffee. She spots a station wagon ahead of her. As she closes in on the station wagon, she sees a child in the back seat. It's not her car. On a secondary road, Veronica finds a station wagon. She pulls up behind it. Her station wagon sits half on the shoulder with the door open. There's no sign of Luke. She jumps in and turns the key. She notices a railway truck driving along a nearby track. Veronica pulls the GTO up to a train station. Putting on a fedora and sunglasses, she heads for the station.
Amtrak 415, departing for St. Louis, is now boarding on track 2.
She peeks in through a window. Luke's wrist computer sits behind the ticket counter. An FBI wanted flyer featuring Veronica is posted inside. She heads for the counter.
Destination?
Good question. Can I ask where you got that device?
This thing?
Did you get it from a tall guy with far away look in his eyes?
You a friend of his?
I'm his sister.
Good. Then you can explain it to the sheriff.
Wait! What happened?
He suckered me into trading this thing for a ticket. Total piece of junk. It doesn't even tell time.
Look, I'll pay you for his ticket. Just tell me where he was headed.
Sorry, we're not allowed to give out that kind of information.
You don't understand. My brother is a very sick man. He's a diabetic, and this is his insulin monitor. If he doesn't get a shot, he could die. You want that on your conscience?
His train arrives in Chicago, 12:05, tomorrow.
She gives the man some money and pulls the wrist computer from his hands. As she hurries out, a security guard studies the FBI flyer and chases after her. She drives away, leaving the security guard in the road reading the flyer. On the train, Luke stands bare-chested between cars to cool down. At the Capitol building...
Where are you?
I'm headed south. A woman resurfaced about an hour ago in a country train station.
Was she alone?
She's alone. But she's asking questions about him.
She's a fugitive, Mr. Mazur. I'll let the authorities handle her. And if they don't apprehend her in due time, you'll have your chance.
Mazur hangs up and continues along the road in his SUV. As the train pulls into a station, Luke sits motionless in his seat. Glances out the window and notices a soldier patting a young boy on the head, saying goodbye to his family. He remembers a similar scene many years ago, when as a young boy he said goodbye to his older brother at a train station. He recalls saluting as his uniformed brother climbs onto the train.
Seat taken?
Luke turns from the window and finds a porter with a little girl. He shakes his head.
You can sit here, sweetie. Holler if you need anything.
Thanks, mister.
She pops her gum.
Sorry. Gum? Would you like some?
He holds out his hand as she unwraps a piece for him. He watches her put a piece in her mouth, then copies her.
My name's Annie.
GR 44.
Cool. Are you a rap singer?
In the GTO, Veronica drives through the night. On the train, Annie sleeps curled up across two seats. She opens her eyes and sits up.
You're not sleepy.
Luke sits staring blankly. Annie holds out her stuffed animal.
Here.
He examines it.
Strange ordinance. How does it work?
Annie places the stuffed animal against his chest and wraps his arms around it.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Luke stoically cuddles the stuffed animal. Veronica smokes as she continues her all-night drive. The next morning, Luke reads a Time magazine article featuring a photo of Veronica. Annie sits down beside him and reads over his shoulder.
She's very pretty.
Veronica checks her watch as she drives down the highway, 106 miles out of Chicago. Later that morning, the train reaches Chicago, blocking Veronica in traffic as she waits at a railway crossing. Luke and Veronica are unaware of each other as his train passes right in front of her.
Chicago, Illinois. Chicago, Illinois. Next stop.
Annie packs her bag, taking back her stuffed animal. Veronica drives into downtown Chicago. Pulling up to the train station, Veronica steps out of the car.
Remember that night at my window when
she waits outside the station, keeping a watchful eye on the exit from the arrivals platform. Luke walks out the door. He's escorted by three large men. Veronica hides behind a pillar, watching him carefully. The men walk past Veronica to the street. Luke is led to an SUV. The men all climb in. Veronica jumps back into her car and follows the SUV. Sentries with assault rifles patrol the deck of a massive ship. The SUV pulls up on the pier. Veronica watches from a distance as Luke steps out of the SUV. Unisol Base of Operations, Chicago Harbor. Luke Luke and the men climb the gangway onto the ship.
GR-44 has arrived.
In the lab.
Good. Good. Get him scrubbed. And put him in with the rest.
Scalpel.
As Jasper hands him a scalpel, Dr. Walker prepares to perform surgery.
Any damage to the unit?
Luke lies face down on the operating table, fully conscious as Walker slices into the back of his thigh.
Call me in the morning. Yes. Removing the black box.
Walker sticks his fingers into Luke's thigh.
Must see TV.
Everything that's gone down the last week is going to be on that thing.
Walker hands Jasper a small bloody box.
Give me the hypercoolant.
He grabs a tube, pumping out cold mist. As Walker sprays the incision, Luke's thigh heals instantly. Luke is wheeled into a tubular room for recovery. Outside the ship, another SUV pulls up. Mazer gets out. Veronica watches him as he boards the ship.
Hello, Dr. Walker.
In the lab.
Mr. Mazer, I wasn't expecting you. Where is...
You didn't make it.
Now, this won't do. He said he'd be here.
And he kept his word.
Mazer hands Walker a mini-disc.
This place is like a graveyard.
That is precisely why I needed to speak with him in person. This operation, this facility, we're understaffed.
So you need more bodies?
No, more money.
Money.
Yes. You see, work like this doesn't come cheap. And if we're no longer government funded, where's our financing going to come from?
Patience, Dr. Walker. All your questions will be answered and your fears put to rest. What's up, Doc? Are we open for business?
Steel shutters open, revealing a glassed-in room beside the lab. The three soldiers Mazer killed sit under streams of coolant.
Recovery is complete.
I guess old soldiers never do die. We just turn them into bloodthirsty killing machines.
Luke is led into the room.
You know, we could overtake a whole country with just a few of these. Look at him. What's his name?
GR-44.
The troublemaker.
Not anymore.
Are you sure we can control him this time?
I've upped his dosage. When I get through with him, he won't even remember his name.
Luke sits in front of a panel of robotic needles.
Memory clearance initiated.
Outside, a female sentry guards an 18-wheel truck.
Don't turn around.
Veronica shoves a pipe in her back.
Put your gun down or I'll shoot, I swear.
What do you want?
I need your clothes, your gun, and your ID card.
Screw you!
Veronica maces her.
I told you not to turn around.
Then clubs her with the pipe.
Were you able to recover GR-13?
He never responded to the RTS.
What about the global positioning system?
It doesn't register. Bio readouts are all in the red.
What does that mean?
It means that whatever GR-44 did to him, it was permanent.
War as hell.
Veronica pulls the dog tags off the half-naked sentry, then covers her with a tarp. Veronica adjusts the beret of her sentry uniform. In the lab, Luke's eyes close.
Memory clearance complete.
We're ready.
Walker hands an assistant the mini-disc.
Hit the tracking. It's been voice scrambled. He's getting paranoid in his old age. Welcome home, GR-44.
The four soldiers wake.
It's good to have you back. And welcome to our new recruits. Gentlemen, because of our recent events, our government's endorsement of the UNISOL program has been revoked.
Should we really be telling them this?
He considers them our family. They need to know.
Veronica sneaks onto the ship.
They say they won't support this family any longer. But this is not the first time your government has turned its back on soldiers like yourself. But I will not stand for it. I will not turn my back on you. I will not dismantle, despite what repercussions may come. I plan to keep this unit, this family, alive. This government has now joined your list of enemies. And the enemy, as you well know, must be destroyed.
What does this mean?
We're going private.
What? Mercenaries? That's illegal.
Welcome to the real world. Now let's get this freak show on the road.
I'll assemble a team.
Veronica climbs down a metal ladder into a cargo hold. She hides behind a truck trailer as Walker and Jasper pass by. When they've gone, she continues sneaking through the ship. She enters an empty laboratory. Bright lights hang from the ceiling. Metal trays are lined with strange surgical instruments. A computer terminal. Picking out a disc from a rack, she inserts it in the computer.
Universal Soldier blueprints. Should be interesting. So he's got a VCR up his ass. He still has a nice butt.
She studies the blueprints.
Unit AWOL inhibitor. So that's why you left. God. You're not gonna remember me, are you?
She takes the disc from the computer and slips it in her pocket. Hurrying from the laboratory, Veronica swipes her stolen ID card in a door lock to gain access to a restricted area. The restricted area is filled with coolant mist. She tugs at cabinet doors, but they won't budge. When she gets one open, Veronica discovers drawers of eyeballs and ears. Shocked, she closes the cabinet. As she recoils, she bumps into a computer, turning on the lights in a series of human stasis tubes. You don't need to whisper, baby, I've heard it all before. The first tube holds Unisol GR01, who is decapitated. Under your neck. GR02 is deformed. Veronica continues along the row of naked men held in stasis. You can keep your liquor, baby, that's for sure. GR05 is listed as Lieutenant Eric Devereaux. Wipes frost from the tube. I can't even sit when I'm on my knees. Eric appears to be intact. She starts a computer display beside Eric's stasis tube.
The subject is Lieutenant Eric Devereaux, killed in action 16 days ago. Autopsy results emphatically positive. Soldier is an ideal candidate for regeneration.
The display shows a film of Eric in surgery.
Commence reanimation of dead tissue. Let us proceed with 20,000 volts.
20,000 volts, Doctor?
All right, everyone clear?
The doctor shocks Eric.
40,000 volts.
40,000 volts?
Eric shakes violently.
60,000 volts.
60. Rebirth instigated.
All right, 30 cc's adrenaline, quickly.
30 cc's.
80,000 volts.
80,000 volts. We have a pulse.
All right, 20. 200 cc's memory clearance serum, now, before he wakes up. Come on!
He opens his eyes.
Conscious!
Eric bolts up on the operating table and strangles the doctor.
Get him off me!
A nurse sedates him. Enraged, Veronica grabs a chair and throws it at Eric's stasis tube. Eric comes to. He flashes back to a battle in Vietnam. Veronica watches as Eric convulses back to life. His death in battle flashes through his head. Eric locks eyes with Veronica. Him from the tube.
I'm already dead.
They leave the room. Cameron joins Mazur in the lab.
Like I said, this is a simple show and tell. If the buyer likes your product, take the deposit, then contact me for further instructions. Is that clear?
Affirmative, sir.
Dr. Walker?
Mm-hmm.
I need these men to be on their best behavior.
They will be. I don't see any reason for concern.
Prepare for pre-op check.
A guard walks down a flight of stairs into the cargo hold. Naked, Eric steps up behind him.
Can you tell me where I can find the latrine? I haven't taken a piss in almost 40 years.
Veronica steps out.
And who are you?
She's with me.
Eric punches out the guard. As he drags the guard away, Veronica takes his rifle.
Let's get him over here.
Soon after, Eric dresses in the unconscious guard's clothes.
They kept me here this whole time. My parents. Are they still alive?
Yeah.
Hey, when do I get to see Luke?
You don't get anything unless you hurry it up.
Aye.
Walker and Mazur make their way through the ship.
Here, put this on.
What is it?
It'll tell you when you're overheating.
Overheating?
It has something to do with you being dead. Your body has no way of cooling itself off.
What?
Look, I'm a news reporter, not a doctor, so just wear the damn thing and let's go. By the sound of it, they're ready to pull out.
All hands on deck. Team deployment will commence in 10 minutes.
Quick, this way.
Veronica and Eric climb into a truck trailer. Inside, they find a mobile command center.
Container 2 ready for transfer.
When they hear a winch overhead, they duck into a netted storage container in the back of the trailer. The trailer is hoisted off the ground.
Looks like we're going for a ride.
A large crane lifts the trailer off the ship. The trailer is set down on the dock beside the ship. A truck backs up and connects to the trailer. In the mobile command center, Jasper watches Walker through a monitor as he tests Luke's eyepiece camera outside.
Reading you, affirmative. Affirmative.
He checks the other three soldiers.
Test 2. Test. Eye-link check. Complete.
Affirmative. Test 3.
Test.
As Walker and Mazur watch, Luke marches into the trailer, followed by GR-80, 81, and 82. Veronica and Eric observe them as they head for the front of the trailer. The soldiers sit on a bench.
Status, Mobile One.
Nearby, Cameron speaks into a control panel.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Jasper hands him a phone. Annoyed, he grabs it.
All right, take it away.
As the truck pulls away, Jasper spills his coffee. Veronica and Eric remain in the back of the trailer, while Cameron and Jasper look in on the Universal soldiers sitting in their refrigerated hold up front. Back at the ship, sentries patrol.
Yes, sir. They're on their way. Everything is on schedule.
What about our friends? Have you heard from them?
They're 2 hours from American airspace, and by the sound of it, they're eager to make a deal.
In the trailer,
man, far out.
Eric and Veronica break into a weapons locker.
So do we win the war?
Vietnam?
Yeah.
No. But we've won a few since then.
So what's the story between you and Luke?
She refuses his offer of a gun.
I'm not sure.
Yeah? So you're not,
No. Maybe. We went through a lot together.
Except he won't remember me now. They erased his memory.
They closed the locker. The next morning on the ship, Mazur meets Walker.
You want to see me?
We found GR-13.
How is he?
He's a jigsaw puzzle. I pulled this off GR-44's black box.
Walker plays the film of Luke fighting GR-13.
Where did this happen?
Don't know yet. And I'll have it broken down for indicators. Shouldn't be too difficult, though.
They watch GR-13 falling on the thresher. The film cuts to static.
Oh, you gotta respect his style.
Walker presses an intercom switch.
Go ahead.
Dr. Walker, I'm here in R&D, and, you're not gonna believe this, sir, but, GR-5 is missing.
What? That's impossible!
Sir, bogey on SECAM 3. These pictures were recorded last night.
It's Veronica boarding the ship.
Son of a bitch, she followed us here.
Doctor, look at decam.
The monitor shows Veronica and Eric getting into the trailer.
God, you know him.
It's GR-5.
What in God's name would she want with him?
You don't know much about this operation, do you?
My expertise is security and recruiting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let me educate you. That man, GR-5, his real name is Eric Devereaux. He's GR-44's older brother.
How did this happen?
Well, let me tell you. It's simple. She walked right in. Look, our resources aren't adequate. We don't have enough people to safeguard a place this big.
You better pray this doesn't end up bad, because if it does, you won't have a place to safeguard.
Connect me to the truck.
The truck speeds down a highway. Inside, Cameron slams down the phone.
We got stowaways.
He leads an armed guard to the back of the trailer. Eric and Veronica are captured at gunpoint.
Guess the jig is up.
No one says jig anymore.
I'll take that. Let's go.
The guard takes Eric's pistol and escorts them to the front of the trailer. Eric sees his brother in the refrigerated hold. Luke watches blankly as Eric and Veronica are marched through the trailer. Eric stares at Luke, stunned.
Good Monday, hello smiles. It's nice to see.
All right, move along.
Again for a while. You got
press card. Eric Devereaux, U.S. Army, demolitions expert.
Jasper searches Veronica.
I hear you were quite a soldier. Tell me, what do you think of the future?
Well, if it's filled with assholes like you, I think it stinks.
Cameron slugs Eric.
At ease, soldier.
Luke watches his brother doubled over in pain.
I found this one.
Jasper gives Cameron the disc.
What's on it?
A recipe for strudel.
As Cameron moves to Stryker, Eric grabs his arm.
My father taught me don't ever hit a woman.
A guard jabs Eric in the kidney.
Your father must never had any fun.
Luke stares at Eric. He flashes back to his brother boarding the train going off to war. Up the phone.
What do you want me to do?
Kill the girl. Save the hardware.
Luke stands up.
Relax, Devereaux. They want you for spare parts.
No such luck for fugitive reporters.
Cameron aims his pistol at Veronica. Luke removes his eyepiece. The pistol is shot from Cameron's hand. Luke lowers his gun and kicks the guard in the stomach.
Stand down, GR-44!
Eric slugs Jasper.
Let's go!
As Veronica and Luke run from the room, Eric punches Cameron in the jaw. Luke opens the door in the back of the speeding trailer. Up front, Eric lifts Jasper and tosses him on the control panel. Eric flees.
Go.
What?
We have to jump. Hurry, Eric!
Veronica and Luke jump out of the trailer, tumbling onto the grass shoulder as the truck speeds down the road. As Eric reaches the door, 81 grabs him from behind.
Luke!
Eric struggles, but 81 holds him in the trailer.
Eric! Luke!
81 tosses Eric to the floor inside. He picks Eric up by the back of the neck. The truck screeches to a halt. 80 and 82 jump to their feet. Lowering a stepladder from the trailer, the two Universal soldiers climb down to the grassy shoulder. As 80 and 82 aim their machine guns, Veronica and Luke sprint for the bushes nearby.
What the hell is going on? This is supposed to be a ghost operation.
Get them back in the truck right now!
Just a minute, Mazer. I'm running this show.
Luke fires back, taking a bullet in the shoulder.
Listen to me. Proceed as planned. We can't risk exposure.
But they're getting away.
Let him go!
The son of a bitch has a tracking device in his leg.
Besides, we have his brother. He'll be back.
Mazer and Cameron end their transmission.
Unisols. She's fired. Get back on the truck now.
80 and 82 turn around and head back for the truck. At the edge of the bushes, Luke lowers his gun as the soldiers climb back into the trailer. Eric is shoved into the refrigerated hold by 81. Luke runs for the truck.
Luke, wait!
As it drives away.
Where are they going?
Show and tell.
Show and tell? What's that supposed to mean?
We're going private.
Soon after, a barn door opens, and Veronica pokes her head inside. She and Luke sneak in. Veronica draws a knife.
Take your pants off. There's a tracking device built into your leg. Unless I take it out, they're gonna find us. Don't worry, I've done this before.
He drops his pants. Kneeling between his legs, Veronica grimaces as she holds the knife to his thigh.
Here, you do it.
Luke takes the knife. He plunges it into the back of his thigh without flinching. Veronica reluctantly shoves her fingers into the wound. She removes the tracking device.
Sir, GR-44 is offline.
Luke bends over and takes the device from her. Back at the ship.
You said he wouldn't be a problem.
Not supposed to be. Unless seeing his brother brought back a memory we couldn't repress.
This is not supposed to happen twice.
Dusting blood is thicker than memory clearance serum.
Your tenure's up.
What?
You're dismissed.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm taking over.
Fine.
Walker storms off.
We need to find Eric.
Right after we finish fixing you up.
Veronica tends to Luke's shoulder wound.
You don't remember me, do you?
No. Who are you?
A friend.
Of Eric's?
Yeah, but I met you first. Stay still.
What exactly is your objective?
I'm trying to help you. But I'd like to think or hope that you might, you know, need me still. Just like I need you.
Luke touches his lips. Veronica sprays the wound with coolant, and it disappears.
There. I got it. What?
Luke reaches for her lips and gently caresses her face.
Hey, you two.
A farmer bursts in with a shotgun.
What the hell's going on here?
We don't want any trouble.
Yeah, well, it looks like you walked right into it.
Luke knocks him to the ground and takes the shotgun.
Luke, no! He's not the enemy.
She turns to the shocked farmer.
He's having a bad day.
Tell me about my brother.
In a cornfield.
Eric was one of the first soldiers they experimented on. He was different from me, Luke. His body never accepted the treatment, so they couldn't put him in the field.
He was never a universal soldier. I remember him going off to war.
I'm sorry, Luke.
They're going to pay for what they've done.
A transmission comes into Luke's earpiece.
I know you can hear this.
What?
There is an abandoned airstrip on Route 76. 2,400 hours. Don't be early. Don't be late.
Luke, it's them, isn't it?
And if you don't show, your brother will be executed.
End of transmission. They want me to trade you for Eric.
We need to find a car.
Veronica, these people will kill you.
You're just gonna have to save me.
An old motorhome with a just married sign on the back sits parked at a picnic spot. Veronica lies under the dashboard.
Red over green.
I know. I did a story once on car thieves.
The motorhome starts up.
Hey, what are we?
And pulls away.
Hey, I see the car, what are we?
A man and a woman chase after them.
Get back here! Hey, hey, come on! Get back! Get back here! Stop!
No!
That's it!
That night, the motorhome speeds down a highway.
You should change. You look like a G.I. Joe from hell. Why don't you go back there and find something to put on?
Luke opens the closet, but finds nothing. Luke pushes a pile of wedding presents off a small table to make room for a suitcase. He unzips the luggage. He finds a lacy red teddy. He shows it to Veronica.
I don't think so.
Cameron steps out of the trailer as an SUV drives up to the abandoned airstrip. Mazur gets out of the SUV.
I don't need a babysitter, Mazur. I can handle this transaction myself.
Like you took care of things on the road.
Unforeseen circumstances. It never would have happened if security had done their job back at base. When do these big shots get here?
That's on a need-to-know basis, Lieutenant. I'm assuming command.
The hell you are. This is a military operation. I have tactical command.
What does that mean?
The Unisols won't respond to you.
They will respond if you tell them to.
Look, I don't care who the fuck you are. This is my command. They follow my orders. You want to show off? I do the showing. Is that clear?
Mazur grabs his arm and snaps his wrist.
Who's in charge?
Mazur punches his wrist.
Who's in charge? Tell him. Unisol, there's been a change in command. Mr. Mazur is now Strike Force leader. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge. Change of command.
With a final snap of the wrist, Mazur lets go of Cameron. Jasper steps outside.
You're dismissed, Colonel.
And sees Mazur shoot Cameron in the gut. Mazur turns to Jasper.
Dump him on ice. I hope he gets a better attitude in his next life.
the motorhome continues along the highway.
We need a plan.
Our objective is to recover Eric.
I know, but how?
Reconnaissance. The strategic assault.
Right.
Veronica spots a hitchhiker with a guitar.
Pull over.
They open the door for the hitchhiker.
Where are you newlyweds headed?
Just up the road. How would you like to earn an easy $100?
Don't have to do anything weird, do I?
She glances at Luke. In the truck, Eric struggles against his restraints in the refrigerated hold. Mazer walks in.
Who do we have here, Mr. Rick Van Devereaux?
What are you supposed to be?
I'm the host of your family reunion. Good to see you thawed out.
Get me out of here. Get me out of here!
Mazer takes his wrist computer, then leaves. The motorhome continues down the road. The hitchhiker sits in the back.
Name's Bex.
I'm Calamity Jane.
Take it he's Wild Bill.
You got it.
You two make a nice couple.
Mazer shows the Unisols the film of Luke killing GR-13.
The traitor you see before you is to be executed.
Eric watches the film.
I know you've all been told never to kill a fellow soldier. We're going to make an exception to the rule this time. GR-44 has become the enemy. The enemy must be eliminated.
Affirmative.
Correct.
Oh, sir, incoming aircraft.
It's show and tell time. Let's go.
Jasper follows Mazer outside.
Can you really play that thing?
Like I was born with it.
Bix picks up his guitar.
The last time I fell in love, I really took a bath. That sinking feeling, her love was untrue.
Untrue.
Luke sings along as he drives.
She dragged me through the mud and led me down the garden path.
Garden path.
But now I am awash in love for you.
For you.
So don't burst my bubble.
My bubble.
At the airstrip, a private jet has joined the truck and SUV. Twin bodyguards with machine guns step out of the plane. One carries a briefcase. A smaller man in a black trench coat steps out behind them.
That's Young Sun.
You know you're a terrorist. That's good.
Mazer approaches Jong Sung.
Mr. Young Sung, an honor to see you again, sir.
Mr. Mazer, I wasn't expecting to see you in person.
Well, we had something of a situation.
Well, it was nothing serious.
All taken care of.
Good, good. Now, shall we get down to business?
Bring him out.
Okay, showtime.
Jasper calls the Unisols, who march from the trailer armed with machine guns.
What is this? It's supposed to be an arms deal, Mr. Mazer.
These are your arms, Mr. Sung. The latest in biological warfare. I give you the Universal Soldier.
What is a Universal Soldier, Mr. Mazer?
Allow me to demonstrate. May I please use your weapon?
Jong Sung considers. then hands Mazur his pistol.
Thank you.
Mazur shoots 81 in the stomach. The soldier drops to his knees. Soong stares in amazement.
Take a look. See for yourself. Real bullets, real blood.
Soong approaches 81. Kneeling in front of him, Soong looks into his eyes.
This man should be dead.
This man is dead.
Jasper sprays the bullet wound. '81 stands up and joins the other Unisols at attention.
It healed.
Recycled soldiers. Think about it. No conscience. No values. No opinions. For these boys, recruitment is a thing of the past. Furloughs, forget about it. Guaranteed revival of martyr's career. And the hardware comes with the package.
$100 million for these?
Half up front, half on delivery. Price included 50 soldiers. You, of course, supply the bodies. We don't want any John Waynes to spoil the mix now, do we?
Of course not.
Soong nods to a bodyguard. Who opens the briefcase? Into the black line briefcase, Soong pours a bag of diamonds.
I take it we're engaged.
For better or for worse, Mr. Mazur. For better or for worse.
Mazur hands the briefcase to 80.
Which is away. Well, things just got worse.
Annul the marriage.
Soong is shocked as 81 and 82 turn their weapons on him. They slaughter the terrorists in a hail of bullets. Mazur turns to Jasper, who's dumbfounded.
You really didn't think I would do business with this piece of shit? Now, hush him. On second thought, bury him. They're too stupid to bring back to life. Hardware comes back to base. They won't need it anymore. Good work.
Jasper holds his head.
Psycho!
Mazur's guards load the dead terrorists onto the plane. They taxi away. Meanwhile, the motorhome continues its journey.
Why don't we talk about how you're going to earn that $100?
Vix grins. On the airstrip, Jasper approaches Mazur in the SUV.
Sir, target acquisition, 0.25 clicks.
Son, do I look like a soldier to you?
No, sir.
And what the hell's all this chattering about?
There's a vehicle approaching.
They're early. Okay, I'm back.
Mazur continues his cell phone conversation. Mazur, Jasper, and two Unisols stand guard as the motorhome drives toward them. Watches as the motorhome drives behind the truck. With Bix at the wheel, the motorhome circles back to the group on the tarmac. Bix stops, slaps the dashboard, and opens his window.
They tell me to turn left, and I turn left, and now I'm here in the middle of nowhere.
It's a trap. Check it out.
You hold your position.
82 points his machine gun at Bix.
No problemo, Cachis.
'81 boards the motorhome. With his machine gun at the ready, he searches the dark vehicle. Veronica and Luke sneak behind the truck.
All clear.
Bix looks to Mazer.
I want you out of my eyesight right now.
I'm out of here.
Mazer fires into the air.
I mean now.
Bix tries to start the motorhome. Inside the trailer, Luke and Veronica find Eric.
Never thought I'd see you again.
You didn't think I'd leave my little brother, did you?
I was doing 50 push-ups when you were still in diapers.
Can we save the bunch of bullshit, guys? I don't know how long Bix can keep them occupied.
They run from the room. Bix looks into the motorhome engine.
Oh, yeah, fan belt's loose. I'll just tighten it up.
Luke breaks into the weapons locker. They find the briefcase filled with diamonds. Eric grabs a handful of grenades.
I got it!
Bix closes the engine grill.
Get out of there.
And gets back into the motorhome.
Everyone here.
Veronica, Luke, and Eric give him thumbs up.
Yep.
Bix drives away. In the trailer...
Sir!
Tactical command has been breached. GR5 is gone.
GR5 is gone?
What about the diamonds?
What about the diamonds?
80 sets off a tripwire.
Grenades.
Grenades?
Grenades.
In a huge explosion, 80 is blown from the trailer. The truck is enveloped in flames. Luke and the others watch out the back window as the truck continues to explode. Oh! Jasper and Mazer fall to the tarmac. The two remaining Unisols go down. The Unisols jump to their feet.
Drive faster! Much faster!
They open fire on the motorhome as Bix speeds away.
Oh, man.
Go!
Dozens of bullets puncture the old motorhome.
Go!
Bix drives out of range.
Run! Move, you freaks!
Target is out of range.
Touch! Touch!
Jasper pulls the squealing headset from his ear as the motorhome speeds down the highway. A limousine turns a city street corner. Inside, the colonel answers his phone.
Yes?
Sir, the transaction went as planned, but I'm afraid there's been a little sidestep.
How little?
5'7", blonde hair. She did it to us again.
And the diamonds?
They're gone.
But may I remind you that this could have been avoided?
Don't come back without the diamonds, lad.
And don't make me remind you why I hired you.
Yes, sir.
Mazur hangs up and continues tracking them in the SUV.
You don't mind if I'll be letting myself off sometime soon?
Bix nervously drives the motorhome.
Right here.
They pull into the parking lot of a Western bar. Bix jumps out with his guitar.
You can keep your $100. Hey! Hell of a driving job, pal!
We need to find another car.
Luke's wrist computer flashes red.
We've got to cool off first.
Veronica spots a refrigerated beer truck in the parking lot. She shuts them inside.
She's swell.
Yeah. Swell.
I need a cigarette.
She walks away. In the beer truck.
Well, I hope she doesn't come back too soon.
Eric grabs two beers. He snaps a cap off using a metal dolly handle, while Luke twists the cap off the other.
Hey, how'd you do that?
They're twist-off caps.
Luke reads his beer label.
According to the Surgeon General, consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a motor vehicle.
No shit.
No driving the truck tonight.
We haven't lost your sense of humor anyway. Cheers.
Cheers.
Eric watches amazed as Luke guzzles his beer.
I think the Surgeon General might be onto something.
There's no way this little girl is going to get away from us.
Mazur drives 81 and 82 in the SUV.
We're going to come find you, honey.
A pickup truck pulls up in the parking lot. Veronica gets out and hurries to the beer truck.
Okay, guys, let's go.
They aren't inside. She heads for the bar, where people cheerfully line dance. Looking across the bar, she finds Eric and Luke playing pool. A man lights a cigarette for her. As she watches the brothers contentedly. Luke leans in to watch Eric break.
Luke, I can't see the ball.
Luke backs away.
Okay, give it a shot, little brother.
Taking the cue, Luke lines up a shot. He shoots the cue ball straight into a pocket.
Not bad. That's a good start.
Yeah. You gotta hit another ball.
Yes, watch.
Eric demonstrates. Veronica wanders away.
Nice and easy, huh? Not too hard.
Eric leans in.
I can't see the ball.
Luke shoots the cue ball off the table into a popcorn machine.
Must be the steroids.
Maybe pool's not your game.
Hmm? What's my game?
I don't know. But it sure is good to see you. I missed you, Luke.
Eric hugs his brother.
I missed you too.
A waitress in a skimpy cowgirl uniform taps Eric's shoulder.
We're brothers.
Yeah, right. Well, if you two bros need anything, you just give me a holler.
Eric watches her walk away.
Well, I'm hollering right now.
Oh. Yeah, that's good.
In the women's washroom.
Girl, you need to get some sleep.
Mazer grabs her.
Hello. I have a surprise for you. Tonight you're gonna be my woman. You're gonna smile. You're gonna be in love. You're gonna play my game.
And if I don't?
If you don't, you lose your life. You smell so good.
As Mazer pulls her from the bathroom, 81 and 82 burst into the bar. The armed Unisol shoved the crowd out of the way to lead Mazer through the bar. As 81 tosses a waitress over the bar, Luke and Eric look up from the pool table and find Mazer kissing Veronica's cheek. When a thug smashes a bottle over 82's head, he gets tossed aside with one hand. Eric draws his pistol and pumps several rounds into 82. Mazer fires two bullets into Eric's chest. Luke catches him as he falls to the floor. Veronica knees Mazer in the stomach and darts away. He chases her as 81 opens fire on the pool table. Veronica runs up a flight of stairs as people scatter in the bar. Luke hides behind the pool table as 81 continues to fire. Mazer creeps up the stairs. Luke emerges with the pistol, but both he and 81 are out of ammo. Dropping the pistol, Luke charges and punches 81 in the chest. He punches him in the face with no effect. 81 headbutts Luke and smashes his face into the pool table. Luke pushes off the table, sending them flying through a window onto the patio. Mazer continues up the stairs. On the patio, Luke kicks 81 in the face. Reaching the second floor, Mazer draws his gun. Luke and 81 jump to their feet and circle one another. Mazer stalks through the bar, looking for Veronica. Luke grabs 81 by the hand and kicks him in the chest, then tosses him headfirst into a tree. Hits Luke with a series of blows to the chest. Luke kicks him between the legs and throws him over his shoulder into the dirt. Inside, Mazer continues along the second floor balcony. He cocks his gun. Bloodied, 81 climbs to his feet. Luke punches him in the groin. Then elbows him in the back.
Where is she?
As Mazer spins around, Veronica attacks with a pool cue, knocking the gun from his hand. Outside, 81 swings wildly as Luke ducks his punches. Luke grabs him and throws him into the side of a garbage truck, continuing to kick and punch him. Meanwhile, Veronica jabs Mazer with the pool cue. 81 shoves Luke against the truck, but Luke elbows him in the head. Veronica jams the cue into Mazer's gut as Luke repeatedly kicks 81 in the face. Inside, Veronica winds up and smashes Mazer across the face, sending him crashing through the glass railing to the first floor. He lies bloodied and bruised on the dance floor. Outside, Luke takes 81 by the arm and kicks him in the face. Tossing him aside, he hits a button to open the mouth of the garbage truck.
It's time to take out the garbage.
81 draws his pistol, but Luke kicks him in the face, sending him flying into the back of the garbage truck. The trough begins to close, crushing 81 inside. The trough opens, revealing a bloody pulp. Eric picks up 81's dropped gun. Veronica steps up to the broken window. She runs into Luke's arms. As Mazer charges them, Luke raises the gun and fires. With four bullets in his chest, Mazer falls to the ground. He spits a mouthful of blood, then dies. Luke and Veronica head back inside. Luke lifts Eric off the floor. He lays his brother on the pool table. Ripping open Eric's shirt, Luke sprays his chest with coolant.
Luke, wait. He's dead.
I'm going to fix him.
You can't. Luke, please, listen to me.
Knock, knock.
Luke prods his brother.
You're supposed to say who's there. Laughter is life. You told me that. Why doesn't he respond?
Eric never took to the treatments. That's why they never put him in the field. He's not built the way you are. He can't be brought back. I'm sorry.
Luke lays his head on Eric's chest. Later, the sun shines on a military cemetery. A headstone reads, Private Luke Devereaux, MIA, 1950-1972. Beside it is a headstone for Eric. Veronica places a flower on the fresh dirt. She gives Luke another flower.
Take your time.
I want to find out who did this to us. I swear they're not going to get away with it.
He places the flower on the grave.
To create life costs money. And we're running out of it.
Do we have enough resources to regenerate the team?
Yes, but he's still out there.
And we cannot sustain another blow like this.
Walker inventories his dead Unisols.
You'll get your money. Now what about the bigger picture?
The research is complete and I've assembled a team, sir, but I don't think...
Don't think, Dr. Walker. It's my job. Yours is to do. Just do what I say. And stay on track.
will not have this agenda derailed.
Yes, sir.
The colonel hangs up. He's the deputy director of the CIA. Luke and Veronica leave the cemetery. In Washington...
Thanks, pal.
Two veterans in wheelchairs sell t-shirts and hats on the street. One of the veterans finds a briefcase. Inside is a note reading, "We don't forget." He finds the small bag and pours the diamonds into the briefcase.
How much you want?
Nearby, Luke and Veronica walk away. Executive producer, Kevin Gillis. Executive producer, John Lang. This described version of Universal Soldier 2, Brothers in Arms, was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by Steve Thamer, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast in order of appearance. Matt Battaglia, Luke. Michael Copeman, Cameron. Gary Busey, Mazer. Burt Reynolds, Mentor, the Colonel. Richard McMillan, Dr. Walker. Chandra West, Veronica. James Key, Jasper. Jeff Wincott, Eric. Julian Richings, Bix. Vaughn Flores, Jong Sung. Music composed by John Kastner, Steve Pasile, Ivan Doroshuk, Crunch Recording Group. Source music, Spirit in the Sky, performed and written by Norman Greenbaum. Cool Me Down, performed by The Shades. Spaceman, performed by Biff Naked. Trampoline, performed by Wild Strawberries. I'm Feeling Kind of Lucky Tonight, performed and written by Charlie Major. Copyright 1998 Unisol Productions. A Catalyst Entertainment production in association with Durant Fox Productions. Produced with the participation of the Government of Canada, Canadian Film or Video Tax Credit Program, and the Government of Ontario, Ontario Film and Television Tax Credit. A presentation of the Movie Channel, a Viacom company.